Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
In Jesus' name, amen. It's all very quiet in here on a Sunday morning in a Pentecostal church on Pentecost Sunday. Still really quiet in here. It's funny because the first thing I want to talk about today is running on empty. What it's like to run on empty. I wonder what your thoughts are when the petrol light on your car, if you're a driver, comes on. There's different people in this room today and you'll fall into different categories. See, some people can see the tank slip down to about 3/4 full and they then need to make it to the next petrol station. If you've lost just a quarter tank, it's time to fill up. Should I go behind a bit to stop that echo? See if that makes any difference. See how we go. So there's the people that see 3/4 full, need to go fill up. There's people that can see the light come on, and that's when you just start to feel alive. It's game on. How far? And there's so many people in here that are saying, that's me. That is me. How far could I get with the light on? See, some people will say, I need to fill up. But other people will say, I know my car. Anyone ever been caught out with that? Only one or two hands, that's okay. See, the reality is, though, that running on empty can be stressful. That red light to say it's time to fill up can be really stressful for people, and for others, it's totally fine. But when we find ourselves in that situation, when we're running on empty, we're just hoping that we can stretch what we have just a little bit further. But the reality is that's how some of us live our lives. We're running on empty and we push through. We push through with work. We push through with our parenting. Even in ministry, we push through. We face struggles and we have barely enough strength, barely enough hope, and barely enough peace. But we just think we'll just squeeze a little bit more. We find ourselves spiritually exhausted, running on fumes, but we keep going, hoping that something will change. The truth is, though, that we're never meant to live this life in our own strength. God designed us to be empowered by something far greater, a limitless power of His Spirit. Years ago, working with young people, I found a Christian movie. Now, the movies that would be labelled Christian movie today, I would suggest are a bit better than the ones that were out 20 years ago. Okay? But I found this movie called Lay It Down. And it was two brothers who were into racing cars. They worked on cars together, and that was their life. They were driving in the town. It's a bit like Fast and the Furious. And I'm sure the people who created this film had that in mind when they put it together. But there's one line in this film, and actually there's a few petrol heads not here today that would have given me hassle if I get this wrong. But there's a line in the film where one of the brothers says to the other, and he's really trying to show that his car's better, his car's faster, his car's got more horsepower. And this is what the brother said. He said, it's not about the horses. It's all about the torque. I'm looking to see if anybody nods, and then I'll know I need to speak to them after the service. It's not about the horses, it's all about the torque. See, horsepower, going a wee tour here, horsepower is a measure of potential speed or performance. Whereas torque, that's the raw turning force that actually gets the vehicle moving. Especially when it's starting from a stop or if it's carrying a heavy load. See, when we come to talk about the Holy Spirit, and I will get to that this morning, the Holy Spirit doesn't just give us potential or appearance of power. The Holy Spirit gives us the actual power, the applied force that we need to move, to act, to resist, to advance in life and mission. The Holy Spirit's power is not about show, it's about power. It's real power that will get you moving, that will help you stand in the face of adversity. With power, we also have to talk about authority. And I've done this often since starting back last year. You'll probably get a story about my days in school, or you'll get a story about my days in the police. Okay, and I want to take you back to a day in the police. My first time directing traffic. And I can tell you just now, it is as bad as what it looks like when you see it on TV. And we're only going back 20 odd years ago. I had a pair of white gloves in a pouch on my belt. So picture the scene. The crossroads at Kerse Lane, where Olivet Hall, the Episcopal Church, Galabingo, those crossroads, a car's come round in the rain, spun on its roof, hit the, and that's what we turn up to. There's ambulance, there's police cars, there's one bit of lane that the traffic can get through, and I'm the person that's chosen to go and stand in the middle of the road and direct the traffic. Just let me get my white gloves out of my pocket and I'll be there. White gloves on, I didn't have a whistle. White gloves on, stroll right into the middle of the road, my white glove on, my high-vis jacket on, car's coming towards me, and I put my hand up like that and I shouted, "Stop!" And do you know what happened? He stopped. Magic gloves. No, I'm joking. The car stopped. And then I turned here and I got them stopped and I got them stopped. And then I directed the traffic and everything was great. Now, did I manage to stop whatever vehicle that was because I'm so strong and I'm so great and I've got those gloves on? It was nothing to do with that. The reason that the traffic stopped is because with me standing there in my uniform as a police officer with my hand like that telling you to stop, I have the authority to do that. Why? Because I'm a police officer. Why? Because I've got a law that backs me up to be able to say I can stand and I can tell you to stop. I can move in that authority because that's the authority that's given to me in that particular role. It's not a result of my own strength. See, if we're running on empty, burned out, worn down, spiritually dry, it's not because God's power isn't available, but it's because we've been trying to operate in our own strength. You take that high-performance engine without the torque to move it, or you take that police officer standing in the middle of the road without the authority that he has backing him up, we miss the impact we're meant to carry when we live disconnected from the true source of power. See, the Christian life was never meant to be lived by human effort. Jesus promised a power beyond ourselves, a limitless power poured out by the Holy Spirit. Just like the example of the police officer whose authority isn't based on his size or what stands behind him, our spiritual authority doesn't come from us, it comes from the Spirit of God within us. And this is not just some theory, this is absolutely rooted in history. There was a moment when ordinary men and women went from powerless to powerful, from timid to bold, from scattered to unstoppable, and it all began on the day of Pentecost. We're now 2 weeks in to our Limitless Living series. Today on Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to unpack God's limitless power and what it looks like, how the Holy Spirit enables us to walk in authority and in strength. Last week, Pastor Stephen kicked off the series by explaining this is more than just another sermon series. It's a divine invitation, an invitation to break out of the boxes we've been living in, to break free from the ceilings we've accepted, and to walk in the fullness of who God created us to be. He went on to say, it's not hype, it's not motivational fluff, it's the heartbeat of heaven for his people to stop living small when God has called us to live wide, deep, and high in him. And I'm going to kick off with the same scripture to set the scene today. 2 Corinthians 6, reading from the message, it says this, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly. Live expansively. See, in Acts chapter 2, we see how the Holy Spirit was poured out. But before we get to that, we have to acknowledge the promise and instructions Jesus gave the disciples. See, Jesus promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come to be their helper, filling them with power from the Father. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they received this gift, assuring them that they would be empowered to be his witnesses. So they waited. They prayed and they prepared. And then, just as he said, the Holy Spirit came and that changed everything. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2. I'm reading verses 1 through to 4. If you have your Bible, phone, or other device, then you can read along with me. So Acts 2 from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, which we've just read there just now, it's not meant to just be something that's emotional. It's not only a historical event. It marks the birth of the church. It marks the arrival of the new covenant era and the unleashing of God's presence and power into human hearts. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And if we want to look at it and see, well, where did this come from? Where's the justification in Scripture of why this had to happen? Well, the first thing we need to think about is the fact that what happened at Pentecost was the fulfillment of prophecy. Pentecost fulfills long-awaited promises from the Old Testament and from Jesus himself. It's not just some kind of random spiritual thing that happened. It was the strategic outworking of God's prophetic timeline. Joel 2, 28, 29, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Acts 1, 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Ari Torrey wrote this on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for the purpose of cleansing from sin, but for the purpose of empowering for service. If we want the power to serve, we get that from the Holy Spirit. Pentecost proves that God's promises are not empty words. They're fulfilled in power, they're fulfilled in history, and they're fulfilled in us. We also see at Pentecost the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This was a new covenant reality. God's Spirit now dwells within believers. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon specific individuals for specific tasks, but at Pentecost, he came to indwell all believers permanently. This was not just a one thing and then we forget all about it. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. I love when I read A.W. Tozer. He says this, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." I feel like I'm going to walk down a path that might upset people. If you find yourself, and I'm not trying to offend people, but I might upset people. If you find yourself saying, see all that Holy Spirit stuff? It's great for you. But I'm just going to park it if that's okay. It's not a special edition. You're not a super Christian if you are involved with the Holy Spirit. It's part and parcel of who we are, what we believe, and what God wants to do. And everybody sitting here and everybody listening online, He wants to do this in our life. It's not a tick box where we say, I think I'll just leave the Holy Spirit today because I've got a lot on. Like, it's not the extra. It should be the thing. It should be the very thing that every day we say, God, I am never going to get through today unless you pour out your Spirit on me today. And see, if you said that yesterday, guess what? You need to say it again today. And guess what? You'll need to say it again tomorrow. It's not one and done. That's a tagline for another series, Stephen. The Holy Spirit is not one and done. God didn't just send help. He sent Himself. Let's get our head around that. It's not just about, well, if I just give them the Holy Spirit. No, He's saying, I will be with you. You'll do it in my strength, not your strength. The Holy Spirit is not an optional upgrade. He's defining difference in a believer's life. At Pentecost, we see quite a lot of symbolism. We talk about wind, we talk about fire, we talk about tongues. I read this the other day. It says, the signs that accompanied Pentecost were not for a spiritual spectacle, but for spiritual significance. It wasn't just a nice thing that happened. Pentecost was heaven's way of saying, this is not just human, this is holy. From a holy God. And I've already mentioned it, but another thing that would just encapsulate Pentecost is that we are empowered to be His witnesses. The disciples were empowered to speak in languages they didn't know so that nations could hear the gospel in their own tongue. See, in some way, Pentecost reversed what happened at the Tower of Babel, where language once divided, now the Spirit-filled speech of the Spirit-filled speech unites under the name of Jesus. So at one point, language was dividing everybody. Now we have Spirit-filled speech that people can communicate and hear the Word of God. Acts 2:4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 2:41, then those who accepted this message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. I want to read this quote to you because it just really opens up what we're talking about here. Henry Blackaby writes this, will God ever ask you to do something you are not able to do? The answer is yes, all the time. It must be that way for God's glory and kingdom. If we function according to our own ability, we get the glory. If we function according to the power of the Spirit within us, God gets the glory. He wants to reveal Himself to a watching world. Every Spirit-filled believer is a Spirit-sent witness. God wants to use us to reveal Himself to a watching world. Pentecost also brought about some practical impact for the disciples. It brought boldness that replaced fear. Before Pentecost, the disciples hid behind locked doors in fear of persecution. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. After Pentecost, we see Peter, the same man who denied Jesus, stand up and boldly preach to thousands. It says in Acts 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Suddenly there was a power within him that says, I need to stand up and I need to say something. Can we imagine if the first time that we thought, I have enough power within me, with the Spirit of God within me, I'm going to stand up and I'm just going to share what God tells me to say, and 3,000 people get saved. That's a great start. What are you going to do tomorrow, Peter? That's amazing. But there was nothing other than the Spirit of God that caused Peter to be able to do that and see that happen. Let me ask you a question. If you were to respond in the same way as Peter did, if you said, I might be really scared here, but I can do this in the power of the Holy Spirit, what would happen? Maybe we need to find out. A.J. Gordon says, before Pentecost, the disciples found it hard to do easy things. After Pentecost, they found it easy to do hard things. So they went from fear to boldness. We also see unity and purpose. The Spirit united the believers in one purpose and heart. And you know, it wasn't a manufactured unity. It was the result of the Spirit's presence. We also see supernatural gifts. The disciples spoke in other tongues, understood by the nations present in Jerusalem. It was a foretaste of the global mission of the church. See, the spiritual gifts that they had, being able to speak in those languages, it wasn't for them, but it was for the gospel to be proclaimed. We also see transformation. We saw cowards became courageous. Fishermen became founders of the church. The weak became witnesses. 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we all are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Another quote to frame this from D.L. Moody. He said, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. But he says, by God's help, I aim to be that man. So when Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus was passing the responsibility to be his witnesses to the disciples. I wonder if you can think of a time in your life where you've been working with someone, but you're watching to see what it is they're doing. They're doing the work, but you're observing. And then there's that time where they're not going to be there anymore. You're going to be the one that has to show that you've been listening and watching and following what they're doing. Back to my illustrations. It was great in school where we set up a particular class for the most challenging pupils in the school at the time. And there was one designated member of staff that would work in one designated room with these pupils. And I was in there helping and seeing what was happening. But there was going to be a time that it was going to be me on my own in there with the most challenging pupils. You never know what you're going to get. Or a time in the police. If I came out of police college one day and was on the street the next day and something happens and it's me that turns up at your door with my checked hat on, the person answering the door doesn't know if I've got 2 minutes service or 20 years service. They just expect me to know what it is I'm meant to be doing. And if you think about that at Pentecost, all of a sudden the disciples have been on this journey with Jesus, and all of a sudden God released his Spirit into their life and said, over to you. It's your turn. If you trust me, we can do this together. Pentecost brought about a change in roles. Think about it this way. At Christmas and Easter, we were spectators. God did the work. We simply receive it with gratitude. But at Pentecost, everything shifts. We're invited into the story as active participants in God's mission. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus empowers us to carry out his work, spreading the message of salvation to the world. Wow, we've got a part to play in this. We can't sit on the sidelines and watch anymore. We've got to get involved. But this empowerment is not just about purpose, it's about authority. The same Spirit who filled the disciples now equips us to walk boldly in spiritual authority that Jesus has given us. Jesus has given every believer a God-backed authority to stand firm, to resist the enemy, to live in victory, and not to live in a place of defeat. What is our authority? See, the authority that Jesus gives is not about personal strength. It's not about brute force. Instead, it's a delegated authority. I mentioned that illustration of directing traffic. It was a delegated authority to that person of the law, if you want to put it that way. Similarly, we don't overcome spiritual forces by our own power, but through the delegated authority given by God through Jesus himself. That authority is backed up by all the powerful strength of God himself. Ephesians 6:10 encourages us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. This means that when we confront the devil or we come against difficulties, we do so backed by God's unlimited power, not in our own limited strength. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. This authority belongs to everyone who believes. Ephesians 2 says you're united with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. His authority is now yours. You're the body of Christ. We're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So how do we use this authority? Well, I would suggest this morning that exercising this authority starts with the understanding that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. If we were to meditate on that truth, it will help us to see that we have a spiritual position and a spiritual identity. When we face challenges or attacks, we can use our authority by speaking God's word into a situation. We can invoke the name of Jesus in a situation. So if we find ourselves, let's just take one as an example, if we find ourselves sick or ill, we can take authority over that. We can say out loud, declaring truth over situation, sickness, I command you to leave my body in Jesus' name. Or we can just declare that by his stripes, I am healed. We declare truth over the situation. See, the Bible reveals the name of Jesus as above all names, and that one day every knee will bow to his name. I want to say this morning that you have real authority in Christ. We need to use it boldly. We need to use it through his name, through his word, and in his power. You were never meant to live defeated. That was never the plan. You're called to live victorious, to walk in spiritual authority, and to advance the kingdom of God with confidence. Confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence. See, we're not called to be timid. We're not called to live powerless lives. We're invited to walk in the same authority that Christ himself demonstrated, that authority over fear, over deception, over temptation, spiritual opposition, and the brokenness of the world. But this authority isn't something that we can sort of make happen within ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus promised not to leave us, but to send us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, who would empower us to live boldly and effectively as his witnesses. The authority that we walk in as believers comes through a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us, he'll shape our character, he'll guide us in our decisions, and he'll equip us to make a kingdom impact. I just want to give a few practical things as I come towards a close this morning about what this authority looks like and how this authority can make a huge difference in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit fills us with power and boldness. When we feel inadequate or we are feeling fearful, the Holy Spirit meets us with a divine strength. And let's just think about Peter again for a second. Once Peter, paralyzed by fear, denying Jesus three times, is now transformed at Pentecost. is transformed into a bold preacher who led thousands to Christ in a single day. See, Jesus had told the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that promise that Jesus gave then is still relevant and applicable today. The promise still applies. See, authority begins when fear is dethroned. This doesn't mean that we never feel afraid, but the Spirit within us empowers us to move forward anyway. See, whether you're called to speak truth when you're at work, maybe having a discussion about things that are going on in the world, if you're asked to pray publicly for someone that's in need or share a testimony story with your friend, the Spirit can give you the courage that surpasses human strength to speak directly into these situations. So a practical thing to think about for that is that before stepping into these situations, just pray, Holy Spirit, fill me with boldness to act in your authority today. And I don't know about you, but there is nowhere, I've not seen anywhere, anything written that says a prayer has to be a certain length, it has to contain a particular style of language. You could speak to a colleague at work in one room, and you could pray going across the corridor into another. That might be 6 seconds. But you know you're about to deliver the truth of God in the next thing that comes out of your mouth. So as you leave one room, Holy Spirit, give me the words to get this right. Let me just tell you. Like, that it's that. I'm sure it's Nehemiah when it says, and Nehemiah prayed, and then it just goes straight in to the next thing. Nobody says we need to pray for 9 minutes. Nobody says we need to sound like we've ate a concordance. I knew there was a word in there somewhere. Like, we just need to pray, open our mouth and talk. If you need help, do you know the shortest prayer you can pray when you need help? Help! God's listening, he's watching, you're not going to catch him by surprise. So just take the time to pray. The Spirit guides us into truth. We live in a world that's full of half-truths. We live in a world that has cultural confusion. We'll see spiritual counterfeit. We need more than just knowledge. We need the discernment that only the Holy Spirit can provide. Jesus said in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. All the truth. Verse in Acts 15 that says, they discerned together what seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. How's that for a partnership with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we feel like the Spirit's calling us that way. Let's go with him. But we do face this because there's some big national debates going on just now about moral issues that the church really have a voice and should be getting their voice heard in relation to them. This is not the time to go and hide under a bowl. This is a time for us to take that authority and start speaking up when people want to discuss the issues of today. You are going to scroll endlessly on social media, falling out with lots of people because of what they're writing on social media. You need to be able to discern what they're actually saying and whether or not you should even get involved in some of that stuff. You can get that from the Holy Spirit. This is practical, real life stuff that matters. The Spirit grants wisdom and supernatural insight. See, authority doesn't always have to shout. Often it speaks wisely and timely. We're told in James that if we lack wisdom, we can ask God for wisdom. We can get wisdom to know things. We can get wisdom for direction, the way that we're meant to move and go. Think about Philip, how he was directed by the Spirit to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. Or how Stephen's Spirit-led wisdom silenced his accusers in Acts 6. We need wisdom in everyday situations. We need wisdom to know how to deal with criticism. We need wisdom to know how to lead our family. We need wisdom to know how to counsel a hurting friend. But we don't have to do it alone. The Spirit equips us to say the right thing at the right time with grace and authority. Again, some practical thoughts on this. Just begin your day by asking the Spirit for wisdom in every conversation, in every task, in every relationship that you'll encounter on that day. I managed to say that in about 9 seconds. That's how long it would take to set up your day with the Holy Spirit. Focus, and off we go. And on that, the Spirit deepens and sustains our prayer life. I think it's good to get to the point where you can say, do you know what? I actually don't know what I should pray anymore in this situation. It's okay to say that. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit will pray for you. Romans 8 says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. See, praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying in the Spirit, brings alignment. The Spirit lifts our prayers beyond our emotions and directs them according to the heart of God. See, when we do that, that's a powerful thing. That is exercising our authority in Him. So, don't worry about it if you don't know what you're meant to pray. Don't worry about it when your words run dry. Just allow the Holy Spirit to lead your prayer. Use Scripture. Just wait in silence. If you pray in tongues, then pray in tongues in the Spirit. Just do something. Let the Spirit lead you. The Spirit develops godly character that carries authority. The Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts for kingdom impact. One question we can ask ourselves each and every day is, Holy Spirit, how do you want to work through me today? And in closing, the Holy Spirit is not a passive presence. He is God with us, empowering, guiding, refining, and using us to display God's authority here on earth. If you lean in to His presence daily, your life actually becomes a vessel of heaven's authority. We're touching lives, confronting darkness, and revealing Jesus. We have to put our confidence not in our own strength, but in the Spirit who lives within us. Just invite the band to come back now. The verse in Scripture that says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. See, what happened in the upper room was not just for a moment in history. It was a beginning of a movement that continues here today. The same Holy Spirit who filled the disciples with power and boldness and authority is still being poured out to those that will hunger for Him. The fire that transformed the fearful men into fearless witnesses is still available to all who believe. You don't have to live spiritually empty. We shouldn't be living unaware of the authority that we carry in Christ. You can be filled, you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you can live with the courage, clarity, and conviction that only He can bring. See, today, I believe each one of us is being called. Perhaps you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you feel dry or weary or disconnected from the authority and the boldness that God has given you. If that's you this morning, then I want to say this is your moment. You can come and ask, and you can come and receive. Let the same Spirit that empowered the early church empower you right here, right now.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.